how it operates, he ought to know. And I'll do some read. I'm going to do some reading today from the Bible. And maybe you'll understand what I'm talking about. I'm going to start at Genesis. Genesis 2, verse 5. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. And there was not a man to till the ground, but there went up a mist from the earth, and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils and the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Now, God created man in the first place. And we were the only thing that he created in his likeness and image. While we're here in Genesis, we may as well look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So now, like I said before in one of my previous programs, that he did not give man dominion over another man. Neither did he give woman dominion over another woman or another man. But he lists here the things we have dominion over. Over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. That's, man has gotten the idea now that he's supposed to be able to dominate men. And this just don't work, because man is not created for man to be dominated by man. But he was created to dominate everything else. That's a funny thing. A man will try to dominate a man, but in the first place, when Adam allowed that snake to con him into eating that fruit. At least the snake didn't con him into eating it. The snake conned his wife into eating it. And she, they didn't even think about or realize that they had dominion over that snake. Because he was something that crept on the ground. He was every creeping thing you had creeped upon the earth. You had dominion over it. But she allowed that inferior thing to dominate her and get her to doubt God's word. And this is Satan got in that snake to do that. And see, Satan, like it says here in the Bible, he's the most subtle, and he can deceive you, and you're not even realize that he's doing it, because he's so subtle. He can't make you do nothing, but he can influence your thoughts by having you to believe that you are thinking these things. He can't speak things into existence. That's why we as Christians, I'm talking to Christians now, and not only Christians, we all can become Christians, but all of us won't do it, but we are capable of being Christians. When you should be careful what you say. God says he's going to hold you responsible for every idle word you say, because your word has power. Proverbs 18:21, I think it is, says that the power of life and death is in the tongue. A lot of our problems we create ourselves by the things we say. Like saying, you say, my arthritis, my high blood pressure. You claim that when you say my, it's mine. So God can't help you. And Satan is laughing at you because he got you to say that. You know? So, and God tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And as a man thinketh, so is he. So if Satan can get control of your mind and have you saying things that you should not say, and a lot of times we say things, like I said before, God gave us two ears and one mouth. In one place, Jesus tells us to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. See, snakes don't talk. They're quiet. They get right up on you. You don't even hear him coming. He slide up on you. You know anything? He's right there on you. You know, but most times snakes are not. They're not predators. They're not looking for you to bite you. Most time when a snake bites you, he's biting you because he feels threatened. But we should be as wise as a serpent. Sometimes it was better to don't say nothing than to say the wrong thing, because what you say is what you get. God don't give you the power for everything you say to come true, because if that was true, a lot of this world would be in a mess, because a lot of us say some things sometimes in anger, and it just would be a disaster. But here in verse 27 Genesis 1, it says, "So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." Now, in Genesis 1, he's creating the male, the man, and everything he created in Genesis 1. But in chapter 2 is where he actually formed them in chapter 2. Because like here in Genesis 2:7, I said, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the eyesight, to the sight, and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Let's go on down in. For time's sake, we'll skip on down here to verse 16. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, It is not good for man to be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." So most people say that man was the last thing that God made, but the Bible don't say that. It says man was the first thing he made, because he made man, and man named everything else that God made. But he was, in Genesis 1, the way I understand it, was like an architect. You know, he got it on paper. There was a plan for it, and he actually did the work in chapter 2. But the main thing I'm trying to get over is that the reason for Adam's sin was, disobedience to God. And this is why we sin. When we disobey God's commands, that's sin. Anytime we disobey God. But we don't know what God said. We disobey him all the time, think nothing of it. And Satan can cause you to do that for your lack of understanding and knowing what God says in his word. The only way you can find out what he says is you have to know his word. Now, you get some of it in the church. Now, all preachers are not necessarily sent, because the Bible says some are actually Satan's agents. Now, can't judge who is Satan or who is not controlled by Satan. And we shouldn't try to judge, because the only thing, like I said, about judging the tree by the fruit. But you have to know the Word of God in order to realize that somebody is not who they say they are. You know? Like I said before, it's hard to convince a deceived man that he is deceived, because he believes what the deceiver has told him. So now Satan is using every trick in the book, every trick he can, to try to keep us from this Word of God. That is why I say it's important for us to know the Word of God, read the Word of God. I don't understand it all, but I read it and ask God to give me understanding, and I'll never be able to understand all of this Bible or everything that's in this Bible in this life. The Bible tells you that in 1 Corinthians 13. That now we know in part, but then we shall know in full. But at least we ought to make some effort to know. And this is why I say I take what I have and do what I can with it. But that's me. You can do whatever you choose to do, because God gives us a choice. You can choose to ignore God's word and suffer the consequences, but there will be consequences. Because he says in his word that there is some consequences for disobeying his word, and there are rewards for obeying his word. So the choice is really up to you. I'm just trying to encourage people. And when I say my brothers, I'm not just talking about black folks, because I got some white brothers. I got I found some brothers in every race, because I've associated with people from every race of people. I found some good people in every race. And like Jesus said, when they told him about his mother and his brethren was out looking for him, he said, "These are my brothers and my mother, these that listen to me." And, you know, the people that were trying to do what he was trying to teach. They were there and trying to do what God says. And Matthew 7:21, Jesus says that you call me Lord, but you these people let me find that, because I can't remember what it says, but I know where it is. It's in Matthew 7:21. Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." So if you don't know God's will, you can't possibly do it, because you don't know it. You have to know it in order to do it. Next week we'll talk some more about the importance of reading this word. And the deceitful, the main things Satan is trying to do is keep you from reading this word. He's trying to deceive you in any way he can. So stay prayed up and read your Bible, and may God be with you. God bless you and keep you. Until next week, this is Brother Gaspar. Thank you for listening.
We hope today's message equipped you with the knowledge to help you withstand the deceptions of Satan. If you would like to correspond with this ministry or become a sponsor, please write Brother Leon Gaspar at P.O. Box 145, Campy, Louisiana 71411, or you may phone him at 318-652-2029. Until next time, may you continually grow in Christ, and may God richly bless you.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.
Thank you for tuning in to the radio ministry of the Church of Jesus Christ House of Prayer, located in Leesville, Louisiana, the place where the Spirit and anointing, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, abides in abundance. The Church of Jesus Christ House of Prayer is located at 1100 Nona Street, at the intersection of Nona and Barone. And now, to our Bishop, with an anointed sermon already in progress, Bishop Tommy Morris.